A Shishkin Productions podcast.
What's up, Chris? No cold open because of the writer's strike, right?
Right.
What? I know it's late and I took all year, but you can stop complaining because I'm finally here. Yeah.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast. The only podcast in Brooklyn on Meadow Street that's owned by BlackRock.
Yeah.
That's right. And we're doing our new owners proud.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote me today. I got an official legal correspondence that said something about they desist that we're crushing it or something like that. I didn't read the whole thing. Something we're seizing the moment
yeah.
And we desist that you keep doing this.
Yeah.
I was just fucking stoked.
Yeah. I mean, look, they wrote you, but you still ain't calling.
They wrote me, but I still ain't calling. I even left a picture of myself at the bottom, or whatever the fuck they wrote. I sent them three letters in autumn. They must not have got them. There probably was a problem at the post office or something. Is my white trash showing? Chris, before we start, where can people find us?
We are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email.
Please.
We are Sizzle Rang Gang. We are Sizzle Reel Gang, the website.com.
All new.
Yeah, and improved.
Yeah, I improved it.
Yeah.
I've been improving it slowly but surely.
I knew it.
I know. Yeah, I knew you knew.
Just keep refreshing your browser every day. You know, make that your homepage.
It's good. That would be pretty cool if someone made that their homepage. Is that a thing? Do people still do homepages?
They must, right?
Do you do one?
No, I never close my browser. I just, like, my homepage is 19 tabs that I just always have open.
I usually do. You do 19 tabs in one. I do, or you probably have in groups. I do groups. I do like three separate desktops or four separate desktops where it's like six tabs per.
Okay.
And they're all divided into what they are.
No, I like it. And of course, we have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line, bro.
Oh my God, it's freezing in that cold line, bro. I tried to pick it up the other day. You know that scene in Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah.
That was me. I actually licked the phone. It was crazy.
Well, you shouldn't do that.
I know, dude.
Now, sometimes I have to pick that up.
I know.
I
thought it said lick that up, which was what I was.
Common
mistake.
Yeah, of course.
It is 332-333-4361. You got to call in.
Yeah, call
in. If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. Here, look, let me find the last person who called in. It was... Oh, you know, I know who it was. I don't really need to talk about that. I'll tell you what it was. It was someone who called in who a friend had recommended they hit us up to help make them a podcast. And I was like,
That's not really what the line is for, but that's okay. I understand the confusion.
You know what? Never mind. I'm not thinking of a different phone number.
Okay.
But whatever. Point is that I'll give you a little peek behind the curtain. They called and I picked up and they were like, hi. A friend said that you could help me make a podcast, and I was just like, you're going to need to go to the website and find someone named Amy and email them about this. And they're like, cool. And then who am I talking to? What can I say your name is? I was like, Al. That I hung up.
You can call me Al.
I fucked up. I should have said like Brian or something not like half of my name. You know what I mean? Like if you were like,
I love
you can call
it.
Me
I love it.
Crussy.
hey, and look, let me tell you, you know, one of our most prolific sizzlers. I was going to say sizzle real cold line callers, but I think that's not a fair title because he's so much more than that. I mean, really, he's our executive producer.
Yes.
Joseph Nana, I'm going to be meeting up with him in Florida next week. It's going to be a good time. Maybe I'll get him on the sizzle reel.
Get a live soundbite from him to throw on the sizzle reel.
Okay, I'll do that.
You're going to be bringing those mini Rode microphones.
Bro, what you been up to this week?
Man, you know me, bro. I'm much like the sizzle reel cold line. I am a no collar worker. There's blue collars, white collars, no collar.
We're no collar.
And we're no collar. And for me, I was planning to go to one of the writer strikes with my buddy Joe. Other Joe. And he texted me and said, hey, because of the smog, the strikes have been canceled.
Yeah, so, I mean, they wouldn't be able to read the signs anyway.
I know, it's true. Or they would look all yellow.
Yeah. You know?
But the smog was crazy.
All yellow.
That's what the Coldplay song is about. It's, oh, about the smog? Signs that are being held up during the smog strike. Yeah. Not the smog strike, the writer's strike in the smog. I was supposed to go and I didn't go. That's what I did this week. I also I worked on a lot of shit, but it was just like, you know, just random shit. I felt like this week was kind of nonstop.
Yeah, this
in a weird way.
The last few weeks, honestly, at least for me, and I think for you as well, have been pretty busy. I mean, they've just been the same few projects. I was able to wrap up one of those projects today. We basically,
we
hit their budget, and they kept asking for more, and they're like, "Yeah, we can't pay you more. Can you work for free?" And we were like, "No."
There was some,
They were like, "All right, just give us the drive."
That was a very interesting project because I feel like it was actually a really cool video. I thought it was really, really good. I honestly liked it a lot.
Well,
from the first version.
Sure.
And then I think there was a point of diminishing return where they weren't making changes that were like affecting the video. I'm not even saying they're making it worse. I really think that they were
just changing
the same stuff.
Yeah, you know, for the sake of change. Yeah.
But
it's fine. And, you know, towards the end of this project, things got a little bit tense. But the director talked with the team, and honestly, they're really happy with everything. Like, it's just they ran out of money, and that's what it is. And that's OK.
Also, communication is like just, you know, a very important part of this industry. Yeah. I mean, I know that goes without saying, but like, I have to say it, it's communication. But no, it's true because, you know, I think we've all worked on our fair share of projects where, like, you know, everyone maybe has never worked together before and people have different styles of communicating. And you just have to like understand that when some people write things a certain way, they're not trying to put any sort of energy out there, just how they write. They're just bad writers.
Yeah.
That's all it comes down to.
Well, through the gape. Yo, I'm struggling today.
Go to gapevi.ne.
Please don't.
It's like a lemon party, but for Gen Z.
Oh, God. Through the grapevine. There was one person on the team who we were kind of butting heads with because of the way that they communicate. It was kind of rude. And that's just how that person is, apparently. Everyone,
I mean, I can put him on blast. It was Chris. He was communicating rudely to me.
I'm pretty fucking rude.
I was disappointed, honestly.
You fucking donkey.
Dude, how did you know? Tears off human mask. I'm just a fucking donkey hosting a show. Up next, segment, favorite things to carry. I'm not a donkey. I don't know. You were wrapping that project up.
Yeah.
I had a lot of like small things going on.
All the small things.
Yeah. I mean, I was in awe, honestly. I was blinking like 182 times. Insane. It was a good week. There was a lot of tiny little stuff. Wrapping up just a lot of small videos. Like literally
little pieces.
I was back to doing things that were like, you know, just quick churn and burn videos. So that's kind of how this week felt. Wrapped up we did that Philly shoot a few weeks ago. I think that thing finally got approved by all the stakeholders. Should be going out at some point. If we see it on the air, Sizzlers will be the first to know.
Has it been mixed and colored, or that's the next step? Or
it is. Nice. I did that today.
Hell yeah.
I was in audio meter doing all the Lufs shit myself.
Wow.
So I learned how to do it. And I sent it off and I said, "Hey, I did all this myself. So if it sounds wrong, tell me so I can fix it, because I don't know what I'm doing."
Sure.
They don't need to know that.
Yeah, I was doing all my own mixes on this project, and I think it sounds fine, but I'm just using some like page from Premium Beat with like suggested audio levels, and I'm like, that's good enough.
Well, I went in and used that like loudness meter thing to actually read the Lufs and like the loudness, target loudness or whatever across the piece.
Wow.
So I had to like make adjustments to the limiter to get the levels to what they needed to be. And you'd be surprised. It's actually a lot lower than we've been delivering. Like the broadcast levels are way lower. I guess
broadcast is like usually around like -10, something like that, right?
I don't know what it was actually like peaking or doing anything at. I know that the target loudness that they want you to hit is -24 Lufs or LKFs as well. I don't know, Lufs or LKFs. But mine was hitting at, it said you get plus or minus 2 decibels, and mine was hitting at like minus 23. So I just exported and sent it.
Okay.
But I think they give it so much headroom just so they can like normalize it in their own.
Yeah.
Mix.
Well, I really don't know. And this is for broadcast, right? Possibly. Yeah. And so, I mean, we're so used to working in a digital workflow where like you don't really need to worry about
audio specs. It just needs to be like hearable and listenable.
You exactly. know what
I mean? Like if you can play it back,
no
and turn your computer halfway up and it sounds good, then it's fine.
Exactly.
So I was doing a little bit of that, and we had a shoot last week in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Neither you nor I were there.
No.
But we sent people, and we actually had to do some pretty cool shit. We had to, like, not cool, but it was really interesting that we had to support them from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Because there was a section of it that they had to do on Zoom. It was a Zoom call.
Mm-hmm.
So we had, what was it? It was my laptop. It was like six computers.
It was six computers, all with different instances of Zoom on the same call that also had like 10 different people on it, because we had to record the gallery view, of course, as a safety. And then we had to record like the full reses of like three or four different interviewees. I don't know what you would call them.
Participants, I guess. And so... five of the computers had people full screen on them pinned, and that's what was recorded.
Yes.
And then one of them had the gallery view. And actually, I was asked not to do the gallery view, and I made an executive decision to not listen to them and to do the gallery view. And I'm really glad I did, because I think that that's going to help us a lot. I think we're going to end up using that a bunch.
Yeah. And not only did we do the Zoom, but we had a camera like in the room capturing a couple angles there as well. I don't know exactly how that worked.
That's what we were told, but like also I on the group text was seeing that I think maybe we only had one camera in there.
I think so. I don't think there were two.
Because in the group text, it looked like the other shooter went out to go capture something else or something during that time. So yeah.
It was a really like compact shoot with a lot to do. Like it sounds like they arrived in New Orleans and immediately got to shooting all day, then had a second all day shoot, and then they were able to leave on Thursday.
Yeah, it was Tyler and Katie. So maybe we'll get them on at some point to talk about the shoot, because I think that'd be interesting to do a kind of discussion of how it was.
But this piece is a quick turn. It's going to be out in 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, we got lucky because Katie's not only shooting it, but she's also assistant editing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, she was an assistant camera assistant, but she also had to run a second cam a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's also assistant editing. So it's nice that we have that through line.
Kind of like a round trip. Yeah.
So like she actually knows what was shot and what's happening. So she's going to be able to set it up. Whereas like I would jump in and go, I don't know what any of this is.
Exactly.
So very thankful for her. But I would love to hear more from them about how it was, you know. That was their first time in New Orleans too.
Really?
Neither of them had ever been. Yeah.
That's a shame because I don't think they really had time to explore. But they got the vibe at least.
I agree. I told them, I told Tyler, but I'm gonna tell Katie tomorrow. But I told them that like I got them on the next one.
Okay.
Because this one was
like you're gonna give them an easier.
I'm gonna find them an easy one because that was a lot of work. I was just on the text and I saw how things were. They were up early and they were out late, and I was like,
yeah. And like the rates weren't unfair, but I think maybe if we realized their days would be like that, I would have definitely done something different.
Yeah. Or I would have pushed to get them. If I'd known the days were gonna be that intense, I would have pushed to get them in a day late or a day early, and I would have pushed to get them to stay an extra night if they wanted.
Yeah, it really sucks to go on a work trip and not be able to enjoy the city you're in at all. Like even just for a night, just to kind of settle in.
I feel the same way, but then I also know a lot of people who would go on like these, and maybe this was because it was pre-pandemic and psychology is different now, I don't know, but there was a lot of people, and maybe it's also because they were older, but when I was in my early and mid 20s, I had to travel for work a lot on these like tech jobs. And, you know, that had me going all over the world. And there would be people who I was working with on these things who were like in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And they would just like be like, oh, you know what? I think we're done with everything. I'm just going to go home early. And they would leave like a day or 2 days early from the thing because we finished everything. And I was like, they were like, you can change your flight if you want. And I was like, you kidding me? I'm in fucking Barcelona.
It depends on the destination, but New Orleans is one of the good destinations.
I agree. I'm always down to see what's popping in a city.
It's also different like when you're there with friends or if you're there like solo and you don't really know the team that well and they're not really the type. But yeah,
one thing I will say,
if I'm down there with at least one friend, I want to go out and like explore.
I think everyone had a good time. I mean, it seems like the crew like bonded and everyone worked really well together. Yeah. So I'm excited to hopefully do more stuff with them. I think we might do some stuff in Boston with them, which
yeah, I
would
think,
be a little easier.
Yeah, I mean, this client is someone who we're going to be pretty close with over the next few years, it seems like.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, so that was kind of last week, I would say, in a nutshell. Obviously, outside of video stuff, Leo Messi signed with MLS, which might be cool for us. I don't know how it's going to impact us directly, but
I mean, there's no way of knowing right now, but he's going to be a huge moneymaker for MLS. You know, we recorded Calling All Casuals earlier, and one of the facts was like, my Inter Miami has gone from 1 million followers on Instagram to like 5.5 million in
six.
2 days.
It was up to six last time I checked.
Yeah, like that they now are the most followed team of any team in MLS, NHL, NFL, or MLB. I think there are some NBA teams who have more, but that's still absolutely wild, and it's just going to keep growing.
Yeah, I mean, let me pull them up right now. Inter Miami, they're up to 6.1 million. Now.
Look at
so they're,
that.
I think it's going to get to 10. We'll see what happens. All right, what do we have on the rundown today? I'll be honest, I was just bopping around, and we kind of want to get out of here pretty soon because the Panthers are playing.
That's
your
true.
Team's playing.
It's true.
So it's going
to
be a shorty.
They have a chance to go down 3-0.
They do, which is, you know what? But at least they're in the fucking finals. I mean,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's all right.
Oh, I'll tell you something real quick.
Sure.
When I woke up this morning, I had this, you know how like sometimes you'll go back to sleep and have like a mini dream.
Yeah.
I had a mini dream that, cause I looked at my phone to see like what was going on. If anyone like with the shoot and all that.
Yeah.
And I think I had a text from Tyler about something, and I was like, I fell asleep, and then I had a dream that I woke up and looked at my phone, and I had a text, and it wasn't from, it was like a different color. Like, you know, when you do an Apple support text, it's like a different color.
No, I didn't know. I've never had to do that. But
yeah. So this one was like dark blue with some burgundy accents and stuff like that.
That's kind of cool.
And I received this text and I clicked on it. And instead of like just a normal icon with the letter, it was like a custom icon. It was a Colorado Avalanche logo. And it said, "Happy birthday." And I was like, "What is this?" And then I got a text from Tyler, and it was like, he was like, "Yo, I pranked you. I told the Colorado Avalanche it was your birthday." And I was like, "What the fuck?" And that reminded me of the Panthers.
Because we got swept in 1996 by them.
Yeah, they got you. They got you.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, well, hopefully the Panthers do well. But all that is to say, let's get out of here quickly today. What do you got on the rundown?
Yeah, so, I put some links in here. I'm going to be honest, I haven't had time to research them all thoroughly. So let's just fucking wing it.
Yes.
First one is SAG-AFTRA. They have voted to authorize a strike. I don't think it means they're on strike. I believe it just means that if they aren't able to come to terms with the studios, then they are prepared to strike, and they will.
That is correct. They have voted overwhelmingly to authorize a strike if they don't reach an agreement by June 30th. So the next big day in this saga is June 30th, I guess.
Yes.
The vote was 97.9% of members in favor.
And that's I think 48-ish percent voted in.
Exactly.
This.
Yep. According to the union, nearly 65% of eligible members voted. So half of eligible members cast ballots, but according to the union, nearly 65% of eligible members voted. I don't really understand the difference there, but that's what deadlines
are. Maybe some members aren't eligible to vote for whatever reason.
Yeah, that could be it.
Who knows? I'm not
but
in that
still,
guild.
Pretty much everybody who voted said that they want to strike.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see what happens.
We've been talking about the writer's strike ongoing and how the Directors Guild basically came to an agreement. They're not going to be striking, which was kind of a blow to the writers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But having SAG on their side, I know, look, they're fighting for they're not fighting for each other necessarily, but they're fighting for similar things. Yeah. And usually if one of these can get it, then the other has even more bargaining power because, hey, you gave it to them. Why can't we get the same?
Hey, well, you know what? If the actor strike and the writer strike, there's nothing to direct and exactly. No one to direct. So
exactly. And like, I mean, I think writers are super important, obviously, but your average fan does not know who the fucking writers are, but they know actors. And I think this is going to put a lot of pressure on the Hollywood studios,
you know,
but you know, nothing's happened yet. They could come to an agreement.
Right. Of course.
They've got 3 weeks.
The fact that they're putting this pressure on is good. I don't know. I don't really know what's going to happen, but you know what I didn't know is that Fran Drescher is the SAG president.
Yeah, that caught me off guard. I learned that last week. Cool, but yeah. What's the last thing?
She's stoked. She's stoked that they've come together. She said she was quoted as saying,
"Bravo, SAG-AFTRA, we're in it to win it."
That's my Fran Drescher impression. I don't know. This is great. You know how it is when the actors win it. Everyone's got all these things to say about how like they're demanding change and this and that. They're actors. They're going to have a lot of shit to say.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. They're also seeking higher pay in light of lower residual payments for streaming content. They want more generous studio contributions to the union's benefit plans. They're seeking limits on self-taped auditions for actors, which the union says have become a massive daily uncompensated burden on the lives of performers.
Yes, they have.
So that's a little bit different than what the writers are looking for. So, you know, they do have their own interests here.
I love that though. Limits on self-tapes is a good,
that's pretty lit, right? And then they're also seeking limits on generative AI used to replace acting work. So I would assume that's stuff like using facial.
Exactly. We'll get a little bit more into the AI stuff a little bit later because there's some runway ML thing I want to talk about. But you know, the last time it says here that the last strike against the studios from SAG-AFTRA was in 1980.
It's a long time ago.
It was a 95-day walkout that established contract terms for pay TV, which is one pay-TV.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like HBO and shit. Mm. Or maybe it's cable. I don't know.
Maybe it's cable.
Pay TV and video cassettes. So it was like, again, same ideas. It's like the medium and the way people are consuming things is changing. We want to be compensated in new terms, not in the old terms.
Yeah. Basically, we want the same things that we had applied to the current method of viewing.
Mm-hmm. Which is not too much to ask for.
Seems very, very reasonable.
I hope that everyone gets the deal. You know what I mean? We're a broken record at this point.
Sure, of course. But hey, you know, if they do strike, maybe we can make a day of it. We go strike with the writers and we go strike with the actors. Then we go get some fucking coffee and chill.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun. I mean, the thing is, for us, it's fun because for us, like, we can just come in and even the littlest hour we give is good support because we're there. For them, like, they're doing shifts that are like 6 hours. And that sucks.
I know.
It's tough.
We're definitely making light of it.
But I mean, they were going to do a thing in Brooklyn. That's what Joe was texting me about. But again, the fire happened. But, you know, one of these next weeks, I'll get out there with them and kind of bop around and do the damn thing. I guess maybe. You want to talk about the runway thing? I don't know how much you know about it.
No, I haven't seen this at all.
Runway finally, I guess, and maybe they released it a little bit ago, but it's Gen 2 of generative AI. So it's text to video.
So this is some generative AI stuff.
Yeah. And I was messing with it a little bit the other day. It's okay.
Sure.
It's definitely just starting. The most you can do right now is 4 seconds, at least in the plan that I have is 4 seconds. Maybe you can pay extra and get longer clips, but the most I have right now is 4 seconds. It was not great at kind of generating usable stuff, but it was generating some like artistic things.
Yeah, which is cool. It's cool. I mean, in all their examples, even like on their own page, it's very obvious that they're artificially generated. Like, make no mistake about it. It's still very cool and impressive. And it, you know, some of them almost look like they're just run through like a deep fried filter in a way.
Yep.
But then they have a couple of examples of like someone kind of like basically doing an AI motion capture where, you know, they have a reference video of someone just like moving their arms around. And then they combine that with a specific image of like basically a demon lord type thing. And it was able to generate a stylized video using that motion capture, but kind of turning them into this like fiery demon type. It's not perfect, but it looks cool.
Yeah, I think it's pretty dope. I mean, to me, the thing is, this is just like the starting point of it, which is cool. You know what I mean?
It seems great for storyboarding.
That's what the next thing it says here. And I was going to get into that. It says you can turn mockups into like fully stylized renders, right? So the example is they have some books or some shit that are set up on a table. And then they have some stickers. The books are on there like they're standing upright.
Sure.
Then they have these stickers going in between the books. So the buildings are, or the books are supposed to represent buildings and the stickers are supposed to represent a road. And I guess you type that in as the prompt. And what it made was like a cityscape that used the placement of the books and the stickers to generate where the buildings and the road are.
It's almost like rudimentary composition in a way. Yeah.
It's interesting. Everything on here like looks hella mid. Like this looks like it would be good for low budge music videos or like experimental films or art. Maybe not art, because you know, to make real art you gotta kind of have an idea, but that's a bigger conversation. I think it's good for experimental films right now. It's good for low budget music videos. I don't see this being like a, I don't know, like a real implementable thing for at least 3 to 5 years. I hope I don't fucking eat my words on that, but
that's tough. I mean, I don't see it as useful for the final product, but I feel like it could be useful.
Conceptual.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, you know, the way things are trending, it's going to replace, like it's going to get to the point where it can replace actual shots, I believe. I don't know how long it'll be, but I mean, even here, a couple of the kind of more like animation style things, I think you could put together some short films using this
Experimental shorts.
Of course,
be like a real thing. I mean, I guess you could make it a real thing. For me, it's like it just looks too not good. And I'm saying that as someone who messed with it. Like,
they're
cherry picking like examples here that work. But like for me, I tried messing with it and pretty much everything I got was really bad. The one thing that worked was I typed in drone shot, aerial drone shot of a mountain, and it like looked okay, but it still looked really like weird and kind of smudgy and like jumpy and like
that prompt is like the very top one on their example page. So they kind of, I think they know what it's trained well on and what it's not.
In general, we'll see what happens in Gen 3. I mean, this is really fucking impressive also. I'm not trying to say this is not impressive. It's very fucking cool.
And Runway is really, they have a lot of different products that do a great job. This one's just they're trying that next step.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm glad that they're pushing it. I'm pro, you know, tech developing in the filmmaking space. I think it's good. I do think that there need to be some guidelines, and that's kind of right. Yeah. What the core of the strike is.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm cool with it. Other tech related shit. And we talked about this last week. We said we were gonna get into WWDC. Which is the developer conference that Apple does.
Yes. We were going to have a correspondent.
Our correspondent couldn't make it, but maybe our correspondent will be able to make it. I don't know. Maybe next week or something.
It's possible.
I still want to know their insights on it, but we'll have to keep you guys waiting. But we have some insights. I know they released, the big news is that they released that $3,500 fucking ski goggle thing.
Yeah, the Vision Pro headset.
That shit looks lame as fuck to me.
I mean, it's one of those things where, like, to me, the technology is very impressive, but it's just, it's like a rich people toy right now. Like, it's never going to get the adoption it needs if it's that expensive. And it also, big issue for me is it looks like it's not wireless. I could be wrong because I haven't watched that much about it.
But that battery thing hanging out.
Yeah, the battery thing hanging out. Like my favorite thing about my Meta Quest, I think it's called now, is that it's fully wireless. And yeah, you have to charge it, but I don't want, if I'm in a virtual reality, I do not want to have to worry about the reality of wires and tripping on them and dealing with that. And also, like, the shit it does is really cool and impressive, but it just doesn't, like, you really think people are going to sit there and wear that for hours a day to do their work?
So.
No,
I don't think so.
Like, I think the main thing that virtual reality is good for right now is games and like as an escape, not as a way to just live your day-to-day life in a different way. I don't think that's necessarily what people are looking for right now.
This says that you can use it while plugged in or with a battery pack that lasts up to 2 hours.
2 hours is not that long.
No, not at all. I mean, I think that this is a swing and a miss. I think it's a very big swing, which is cool. I'm glad that they tried it. And I might be totally wrong, but I have a feeling that this is going to be one of those things that's going to, we're going to look back on it and this, like, a few people have them just sitting in their houses like relics. And you'll
it's going to be like a Google Glass.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe a little bit better than Google Glass. Like, you know, obviously, I think the product itself is actually good. It's going to work.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think it's going to get adopted is the thing.
Yeah. I mean, with that price point, it's never going to get adopted. Yeah. No, it just doesn't make sense. Like, it's tough. But the other thing is I'll never bet against Apple with their stupid ideas. I mean, most of them don't fail. I guess a few of them have, but I think this version of it will not be that successful. But I think if, hopefully they don't get discouraged if it doesn't get adopted and they keep working on it and find ways to bring the price down. And then I think maybe a V2, V3 of it can start to really gain some traction. But right now it's just doesn't make sense.
For me, the difference is like, and again, I wouldn't know until I tried them on, but I just think, like, in general, like, humanity, you don't want something like just sitting on your face all day.
No, it's like a face hugger. It's going to get uncomfortable. It will absolutely get uncomfortable. And I mean, even if they have great fans and everything, eventually you're going to like sweat and it's going to fog up, or it's just, you're not going to have a great time in it.
Like, there's a reason that, like, even, okay, if you're, say you can't see and your vision naturally is just blurry and you can't see anything.
Yeah.
The solution to it is to wear eyeglasses, but even better than eyeglasses is contacts, because they're not on your face and they feel like they're not there.
Yep.
So like that's, I mean, that sounds dystopian, but at the end of the day, isn't the solution here to make this into contacts?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. I personally don't want that, but you know,
it'd be interesting.
It seems like that's where it would be headed.
Yeah. And then you'd lose your $3,500 contact.
Yeah. You could find my contacts. You just like click on it.
I think it, more realistically,
your contacts are beeping. You're like, oh, fuck.
Find my contacts. I think more realistically, it would end up being like one of those power indicators from Dragon Ball Z.
What's that?
Like the little eye.
Yeah.
Over 9,000.
Yeah, I know. I know the meme, but I've never seen the show.
Oh, damn.
There's a guy named Fajita or something like that.
Vegeta,
sorry. Yeah,
I think he's the one who says over 9,000.
Oh, there you go.
So they announced some other things. I believe there's a 15-inch MacBook Air model coming out. I think they had always been 13 inches. So that's actually really interesting. I think that's going to be very useful for a lot of people, not for video professionals because you just need more power. But there have definitely been times where I wish I just had like a nice thin computer.
Oh yeah. I think the MacBook Airs are the coolest product.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
They're pretty dope.
Like if I didn't have to edit videos,
if I was just a laptop to have
a normal person who typed on my laptop and did emails,
yeah,
I would want a MacBook Air without a doubt.
Absolutely.
I think that they're the best machine that exists.
They're going to have the M2 processor in them. That'll be exciting. They also announced some other computers that are more for like power users like us. There is going to be an update of the Mac Studio workstation. That's going to now have the Apple M2 chips. There's going to be the M2 Ultra, and I think they already have an M2 Max. So the M2 Ultra basically just stitches two M2 Max chips together. So
they're also,
you know, double the power.
Right. They're also planning for a new chip that is kind of like an upgrade on the M2 that they announced that's going to be coming soon.
Yeah.
And it's like kind of specifically designed for video professionals. So, you know, like videos, 4K, 6K, 8K.
Yeah.
This is meant to work with high, like thousands of pixels video, even higher into 12K. It's called the MK Ultra.
Oh my God.
So that is going to be their new big one. The setup was worth it.
I think it's going to be a Mac Pro with an Ultra chip.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Yeah. I've been calling that the MK Ultra.
It's the MP Ultra. Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
They
should have one called the Mac. You know, like the Mac Pro?
Yeah.
They got to have one called the Mac King.
Oh.
Mac King for one of our prime sizzlers, yeah. Matt H. King.
Of course. Maybe they should have the Mac Chicken.
The Mac Fish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God.
The Mac Nugget.
I'm hungry.
That'll be like the little baby portable.
It's like a Tamagotchi made by Apple.
Exactly.
Mac Nugget.
Mac Nugget.
We should do a fake WWDC.
What would?
A WWS. See, what would Sizzle do? D. Whatever. Fuck
it. It doesn't matter. We tried.
Point is, the MK Ultra is coming soon.
Yeah, there's some updates to WatchOS. I don't know. It's going to track your son. Who cares?
The thing with the Apple Watches, I don't need that shit in my life.
I like the Apple Watches. I think they look stupid. I wish that they were round bezels instead of their stupid little square shit, but that's fine. iPad OS gets some shit. Who cares? Mac OS Sonoma it was previewed. I guess it's their new OS. It's going to add widgets, private browsing option.
I'm on Ventura. I just upgraded to Ventura.
Ventura
over here
Highway,
on my
bro.
Laptop.
Ventura Highway.
I don't even know what I'm on. I am on Ventura 13.2. Look at that.
I'm out here. I had to upgrade my computer because my programs were not working anymore. So that's how far behind I got.
Damn. I think iOS 17 is coming out as well.
Just a lot of stuff. The usual suspects. The big thing was that fucking VR headset.
Yeah, all the other stuff. Like, I don't think I'm gonna necessarily jump for the studios yet because we don't have the money for it. But I'm excited for the next iteration whenever they launch new MacBook Pros. Mine is still doing great, but if they release some that have like a slimmer form factor, I would probably go in on that because this one is just a bulky mess, honestly.
Yeah.
My last one was like half the size, or like half the thickness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was like the same computer at the time. You know, it was the highest end of the MacBook Pros.
I mean, that's always been a hard thing with the MacBook Pros is that they just are bulkier because they're just more powerful, there's more shit going on.
I get it. It's just...
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I might get one of these fucking new PCs, dude, because I've been doing some work on some PC type videos and they've sold me on them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look cool, and from what they're talking, they have like hella power.
Oh, dude, PCs are always going to be more powerful than anything Apple comes out with.
Maybe I'll get one just to like fuck around on, not to actually work on, but I don't know, who knows.
It's an expensive fuck around.
I know, but like, you know, just play games and shit. Cause like, whatever, I'm not going to get a PS5.
I'm not one to talk. I just spent a MacBook Pro on hockey tickets. So.
Like, would I rather spend, how much is a PS5? Like $800?
It's like 600.
It's down now.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, I'll just get a fucking computer. Who cares? I'm probably not going to get either one. Last thing in the rundown, you wrote CNN CEO out.
Yeah. I don't know just how relevant this is to us, but you know, it's media based. Chris Licht,
Licht.
He is out as CEO at CNN after just like 13 months on the job. That was a super tumultuous year for them. They basically had massive layoffs, shrinking profits, historically low ratings. They fired a couple anchors. Employee morale was awful.
Was it Gapevine?
Yeah, check my gape, bro.
Gapevine, son.
CNN basically tried to do the Fox News thing and like capitalize on that. And they even,
what is that? What is the Fox News thing? Just like making
just lowest common denominator
shitty content,
like more opinion than news.
Yeah.
And they gave Donald Trump a platform like a month ago. And that I think that was really the death knell for him, because
the final straw.
Yeah. It's like, dude, this guy's a fucking traitor to the country. Like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah, you're selling your soul for profits and it didn't work. So good. Fuck you. I hope you never get another job again.
I mean, this kind of shows how out of touch I am, because I didn't even realize CNN was like a thing that people still watched, but I guess it's on at every airport.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
like
about it, right?
I mean, CNN used to be, I would never watch CNN, but if I needed some like new, like on it, this is brutal, but typically it was like when there was a mass shooting or something and I was looking for updates, I usually go to CNN or something like that, because yeah, they were fairly reliable. But more and more they're just kind of trash.
I don't trust any cable news, man, because it's always for profit. You
it
know
is,
what I mean?
Yeah. That's the problem with news, and that's part of the reason I got out of the business. Is like, yeah, the individual reporters will try their best to like just tell the story, but they always have the producers and the news director the pressure of make this exciting and like, yeah, you know, if there's a there were times in news where there would like, one person would say maybe that there was a gun, but we could never like get a second source. And like, we would always, even if it was like a minor detail of something, we would always lead with that, you know? And it's like, we would that basically sucks. Emphasize parts of the story that aren't the most important parts and aren't, you know, weren't the most important parts while they were happening either.
Right.
And right, just kind of twist the story. So like,
it was like always looking for clicks.
Exactly. It's still factual, but it's kind of misrepresented.
Yeah.
And that show just absolutely drove me crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's
just, not to mention you're just profiting off of people's tragedy. Like yeah, that's such a, like it's so greasy and disgusting.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I can't even. Yeah,
and then they sit there and pat themselves on their backs like, oh, we told a great story. It's like, no, you fucking didn't. You told the story you wanted to tell to make money off of someone dying.
It's so funny because that, like, I kind of feel the same way, but my shit is like so much more low stakes, where it's like, you know, I felt that way for a long time about doing like social media videos for like, yeah, tech companies. And like, I was like, man, this is all bullshit. Like, we're just like advertising. Like, none of this is actually real. Like, this is like not doing any good for the world.
Yeah.
And then to think about it in that perspective, where you're actually dealing with like, or in that field, you are dealing with like tragedies and shit, yeah, every day. Yeah. That's way more stressful than, yeah, my like stupid ads.
Yeah. I mean, every day was like, go find someone on the worst day of their life and put a camera in their face. It's like, all right, cool.
Yeah. I mean, well, hey, I'm glad you're out of it. And fuck CNN and fuck all the news networks.
Yeah.
Except for Reuters. I'm going to ride or die for Reuters. We had it in the rundown. NVIDIA Neuralangelo, the latest Ball brother. NVIDIA Neuralangelo Ball. But we'll have to wait till next week to talk about that.
Yep.
But we'll get to it because we want to do a quick shorty today. Let's get to what we learned last week. What we learned
last week. All right. You want me to start us off? So I learned that.
Why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
Okay, cool. Thanks. Should I clap?
No. I get it. I'm just joking. You can go for it.
Yeah. So I learned that I guess my family has a brick at the Riverwalk in Fort Lauderdale.
Of what?
Just a brick of cocaine. It's
okay.
South Florida,
just
bro.
Hanging out. Okay, yeah. Got it.
Just like a brick in the pathway.
A brick in the wall?
Yeah, just another one.
All in all, it's just another brick in the pathway.
Yeah.
Why do you have a brick there? What is it? Like, what do you mean it's yours?
I don't know. No, that's what I'm sure they paid to have their name on it. But I'm going to see it this weekend, I guess.
What's the name on it?
I assume it's stock. I doubt my name is on it.
Right.
But so I'm just curious. I want to find out.
Do me a favor. When you get that, send it. I'll put it on the Sizzreel Instagram.
Okay. Yeah.
No context. Let's put it as a story for 24 hours.
Let's fucking do it. Okay. What did you learn?
I learned that Ted Lasso is based on The Wizard of Oz. There's a lot of theories that
really?
Say it's based on The Wizard of Oz. There's people going in depth. They're saying, you know, he came from Kansas, kind of like Dorothy did.
Okay.
He wears red shoes, kind of like Dorothy okay. did. Apparently, there's an episode where he clicks his heels and he says, I wish I was home,
yeah.
kind of like Dorothy did.
Sure.
They draw all these parallels between characters being different people. And I don't know the thing well enough, so I don't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, I also heard the quick throwback to 30 seconds ago, if you put on The Wall by Pink Floyd throughout the series, everything lines up perfectly.
It's pretty crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, there's also some theory that the whole thing was a dream, kind of like Dorothy.
Well, I still have to watch the last couple episodes, so I don't know.
I was going to play you like a video clip about it, but I'm not going to do it because it happened after the finale. All right. Well, look, Sizzlers, thank you for sticking around. Chris, where can they find us? Really, really quick.
We are at SizzlerRealGang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzlerRealGang@gmail.com. We are SizzlerRealGangthewebsite.com. And of course.
Ooh, man, this thing is freezing.
We have the SizzlerReal cold line.
Brr.
That is
332-333-4361. Call in, text in, leave a message, do anything. Someone's got to be out there. Nancy, where are you?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Okay, keep on sizzling.
A Shishkin Productions podcast.